Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
Hey, let's do it.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Camping, Grow My Cleaning Company. Good to see you guys. I have, if you're wondering why the old guy next to me is not my beautiful wife, for those of you who have seen me have guests or someone else, or wondering what cleaning company he owns, the answer, not my wife, doesn't own a cleaning company. This is actually a guy that we've used for a while to do our legal stuff, and I reached out to him because we are recording this March 31st, 2020, and for those of you live, we know that the corona fear and panic and nonsense and sickness is just at full, hopefully at full throttle. Hopefully we're somewhere near the peak. It's going to go down. But I wanted to make sure we get, you know, when it comes to business, I feel like I know a couple things about a couple things. When it comes to the law, I feel like I know nothing other than it almost never makes sense to me. So I figured I'd get someone in here that's actually qualified to talk about legal ramifications for you, for your company, for your clients, for your employees, all that sort of good stuff. So we're going to see if we can't squeeze his brain for some good stuff. Michael, why don't you say, hey, introduce yourself, and then we'll dive in.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike, for having me today. Thanks, everyone, for taking a piece of your day to listen to us, and hopefully we can shed some light into the odyssey or the maze that has been created in the last couple of weeks. Hope you all are healthy, and Mike and I are trying to help you get through all the maze and then assist you in running your operations despite all the turmoil that you may be experiencing.
So
my name is Michael Kuhn. I'm based out of Richmond, Virginia, here at the East Coast. And I've been working with Mike for quite some time on general business items and employment law. And today's podcast is mainly to help you not get a headache from all of the items that we're going to be discussing, but to help and assist you to make it through this difficult time and help you run your business. That's the gist of this call.
Cool. So let's dive
in. Thanks for having us.
I see kind of three main areas, and let me know where you see kind of the biggest risk or the biggest, you know, focus needs to be. One, towards our employees, right? Obviously, we got people that we call to work. They could get sick. Two, towards our customers, right? We could send people into their business that could potentially make them sick. And then three, for our customers, right? They've got some sort of liability that maybe we could bring some value in terms of they have a space where they're letting their customers and employees congregate, and they might have liability. If you owned a cleaning company, which of those would you kind of be, would you be concerned about any of those, all of those equally? Talk to us.
All of them. And we can talk about different solutions. Mike is going to be leading the way because he knows your business a million times more than I ever will.
And Michael, we only see the top half of your face, man. Let's see if we can move the camera so we can see all of it. There you go, buddy.
All right. Is that better?
Much better.
Okay, cool. Aim to please.
Beautiful. So, yeah, how, as a owner of a cleaning company, how do we kind of deal with the potential of, you know, I've been coaching, and I feel like we are frontline, right? Like first responders can't just go, well, we're going to go home and curl up and hide. Someone's going to be out there. And I feel like we absolutely need cleaning aid. You know, this is where we shine. This is what we're here for. More than ever, you know, our jobs have been, I don't say commodity, but certainly a luxury maybe to some. Now I feel like, holy crap, disinfecting and keeping people safe is a big part of what we do. How does that look from the legal perspective?
It's a very important piece. And the good news is a lot of states have enacted different acts in making it possible for cleaning companies to be exempt from all the travel restrictions and the other restrictions general businesses have will have to shut down during this period of time. Cleaning services are considered what is called essential infrastructure critical businesses. So that helps you get through this. Going back to your first question, Mike, what do you do for your employees? What do you do for your customers? First and foremost, if you encounter that one of your employees is showing any symptoms, you have the right to ask that particular employee if he or she is feeling sick And if he or she is not feeling well, you have the right to send him or her home and get herself checked or himself checked, whether she has any illness, regardless whether it's COVID-19 or a regular flu or just a common cold. Because you have two things to keep in mind. Number one, you need to run your business. Secondly, you need to protect your co-employees and your co-workers from getting sick. And you also have a duty of loyalty to protect the employee who may or may not be sick or just not be feeling well, because they have a hangover from the day before that's unrelated to COVID-19.
So how do we, what kind of liability, if any, is there? Obviously, it would not just be probably not good for the law, but immoral to send someone we know is sick in someone's house. But I don't think anyone listening, that's the plan, right? What liability, if any, do we have if we send sick people that we don't know are sick? They haven't, obviously, if they make themselves known to be sick, let's not send any, legal or not legal, just common courtesy, let's try and protect each other. But we know this thing can lay dormant for 3, 4, 5 days, and nobody knows. So what happens if, as a cleaner, I'm doing the best I can to help people, but I send a sick person in and something happens?
Yes. I mean, obviously, if you have, as an employer, if you have no knowledge, your risk is obviously not there. If you do have any signs, that's the point where you need to act. As employers, and I'm assuming all of the audience, the listeners, will have what's called workman's comp insurance. Workman's comp insurance is a great umbrella to protect employers from being directly liable in those instances, as long as you don't act what lawyers call negligent. So as soon as you have any knowledge of any sickness, you need to act. If there's nothing showing and you don't have any indication that the person was in a high-risk area, you can find those listed on the CDC website, which areas are considered high-risk. Initially, it was the Wuhan area, South Korea, and Japan. That has obviously shifted since then. So that's the one thing you want to check on. Is there a high-risk area that anybody has just visited? So that could trigger another questioning where you would just ask your employees, hey, have you been traveling outside of the U.S. recently? Have you been doing any travel to, I hate to say it, to New York City, Manhattan, and other areas like Seattle or L.A., which are just on the forefront or hotspots at the moment?
Okay,
so as long as you do that and you have no employee who is showing any symptoms, you ask some general questions that you're allowed to ask, you're fine as an employer.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, obviously, if we've got knowledge of somebody being sick, I don't think anyone's planning on doing that, but clearly there might be some liability. But if we have no knowledge, we send people in good faith, we're good. If there is some sort of issue, as long as we have workers' compensation, they should be able to step in. And again, guys, gals that have 1099s that may or may not be 1099s, I'm constantly coaching to get W-2 employees because we can control their workers' comp. So easy to quote, demand a $12 an hour employee have their own workers' compensation insurance, but you know as well as I do, not likely in the real world. So I feel like we're kind of good on that. Let's turn the tables. What about if we take a perfectly healthy employee and send them into or ask them to go to a place where they get sick?
You broke up for a second, Mike. Could you repeat the question, please?
Sure. What if we ask an employee to go clean a place and they get sick in that place? And again, obviously, we're not going to ask them to send, go somewhere they know. Well, let's talk about two places, right? Maybe there are hospitals and places where there are patients we know there's danger. And obviously, some of our listeners have those as clients. And then there's other places where there could be some sort of, COVID-19 or any other sickness lurking that we don't know about. What kind of ways can we do that, quote unquote, the right way legally to make sure we're protecting ourselves, our employees, but still doing our job and serving, like I said, to some degree, this is a frontline service.
That's a great question. I'm glad you're asking this one. OSHA has come up with different risk scenarios. And the one that you just mentioned would be considered a high or even severe level of risk. If you go into hospitals, you go into high risk areas where you have COVID-19 patients, and obviously those hospital rooms need to be cleaned as well. That elevates what we just discussed earlier. So as an employer, you need to help protect your employees. So you need to assist them in getting protected. Rubber gloves, of course, maybe gowns, face masks, and the ones that you can find on the CDC website that are exactly for that purpose. The hospital, if they do have all that mass, they may be able to assist you in that, but you definitely have an elevated and higher exposure to protect your employees from not getting sick if and when they're working in a high-risk environment as opposed to a regular commercial site or a residential site. So that's a great question. So that elevates your duties as an employer to take care and protect your employees.
Well, let's break that one down. So there's two scenarios. One, again, the good news is, I'm pretty sure everyone here on this broadcast wants to do the right thing by their employees and by their customers. So there's two scenarios. One, that protective gear is available, and say we provide that for them and they still get sick. Two, the protective gear is not available, right? That's one of the problems with this stuff. There's not enough testing. There's not enough gears. There's not enough PPE equipment. So how does that kind of expose us as owners?
Well, that is a tricky scenario, and I don't think there's a perfect answer to that, because employees generally have a right to refuse going into a workplace environment that has what legal people call an inherent risk of getting seriously ill or even death. So that is a very gray and dark area. In the past, OSHA would look at the particular scenario, but this is a territory that is unprecedented, so it's very hard to give advice. You could run into the issue that your employee just refuses to go, and if you force them or mandate them to go, you're in a gray area. I hate to say it, because if you're having COVID-19 patients around the cleaning crew, you're getting too close. The only thing that I can think of that you can advise is, at a minimum, keep 6 feet away. Get rubber gloves. That should be the minimum that you have. Have sanitizer close by. And the best, of course, would be to get that face mask, but it may not be available. So I don't have a perfect answer to that question, Mike.
Well, and again, I have a feeling lawyers like Michael will be litigating this on both sides like months from now. We'll know exactly what the law states, because it's going to have to get tried out. But we're trying to give you guys the best we can, at the front end. And obviously, to all a degree, we're all trying to read the future. So a couple questions in the chat that I want to hit, and then a clarification on what you said, Michael. First of all, the feedback I've been getting my folks, which seems to be in lockstep with what you're saying, is certainly we're not going to require anyone to do anything dangerous, ever. But for me, I want to think and believe my people are down with my cause, right? They're part of my team because they want to serve at a high level. So certainly I'm not coaching anyone. And again, irrespective of the law, if someone doesn't want to go, they don't have to go. Like, we're going to respect that. But I was more talking about people that were willing to go in. And then Jason Johnson, one of our Millionaire Mastermind folks, just put in the chat, what if they go in and they don't want to wear the protective equipment? Can we require, or can they be at their own risk? How does that work if they want to go and like, I don't want that, or I'm going to take it off?
Well, every individual still has a right to their own protection. So as an employer, and that's the main question that I'm hearing you ask, is all you can do is advise your employees and recommend it. And what I would do is I would keep records of that to avoid any liability later down the line. So I know you're all crazy busy at the moment. Everything's going haywire crazy at these difficult times. But I would, in that type of situation, I would recommend adding a note to the personnel file in the evening after closing time, and just add, at such and such time, you recommended to such and such employee that he or she wear a particular face mask, if available, wear rubber gloves and a gown or whatever to protect. And definitely, after doing the particular job, sanitize him or herself as best as possible. Well, and if he or she refuses to do so, just stick a note into the personnel file that you have some proof that you did everything you could to protect your employees.
But this is a two-way thing, right? So obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but I can see where that would definitely have some value in terms of if the employee gets sick and turns around and tries to sue us. We're like, hey, we asked you to do it, you didn't. But what about if the employee brings some sort of sickness to the places that they're at, whether it's a residence or a commercial office? Some note in the file to me doesn't seem like, if someone sends someone sick into my place and I don't wear proper equipment, I don't care about the note. I'm like, hey, you sent a guy or gal into my place that refused to kind of take precautions to protect me.
Well, again, that's a great question. It comes back to another issue we talked before, knowledge. If you as an employer have any kind of signs or symptoms in your employees, you need to ask them what they're experiencing. Is it a regular hangover from too much alcohol or some other drug they were using the night before? Or do they feel sick? Then you would send them to a doctor to get a doctor's note to get them cleared. You cannot, because you're not only exposing your own employees to additional risk, as just as you said, you don't want anybody at the customer site getting sick or any co-employees. So you got to look out. And if they refuse, I would ask them to stop working.
Okay, so you from a legal perspective, and again, that's we there's two kinds. There's people that are symptomatic and people that are asymptomatic, and people can be asymptomatic because A, it's still incubating and they're potentially contagious, but they haven't started having symptoms, or they might just, you know, they're speculating tens of thousands of people have had it and didn't even know that they had it. So certainly the how are you feeling? You look sick, that makes sense in terms of going to a doctor and getting a note. But what if I look fine, I feel fine, and I just don't want to wear the stuff? Is that a line that, as a lawyer, would you kind of draw in the sand, or would you go, hey, you got to do you?
Well, if there are no symptoms, it's the same. It's hard then to create what you call the causal connection between that incident and a later disease or that you caused to someone else. So you as an employer, all you can do is advise them to wear it, especially if you're getting into a high-risk environment. A low-risk environment would be a residential home or a general commercial setting. So I think that is extremely limited. But if you're sending your employees into a high-risk environment and they're just refusing to protect themselves, I think it comes down to your discretion if you want to continue to have that elevated risk. I would not want to have that elevated risk at this time and day. I would recommend telling them, you either protect yourself or I'm not comfortable sending you to that hospital.
Okay. And again, hopefully you guys are getting, there's two kind of perspectives, right? I'm trying to give the, hey, as a business owner that's been in business 20, 25 years and has had some success, here's how I would look at it. But I don't know a damn thing about the law, right? So Michael can kind of go, hey, you know, maybe he doesn't have the business experience that I've got, but he knows what the, so we need to cover both, right? Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay. And just because it's okay doesn't mean it's legal. Or okay by you, I should say, doesn't mean it's legal. So I want to make sure we're getting both perspectives in terms of here's some business coaching and here's some legal coaching. And then as the owner, obviously, at the end of the day, the buck and hopefully the sickness stops at our place. So Marcus asked a really good question I was going to ask. And I'll answer my side first. And then I want to hear Michael's. He says, is there any wording we can't legally use in advertising? I think part of the reason Marcus is asking that is companies like Facebook and others are really not okay with using even the term COVID-19 or coronavirus in your advertising, right? They think it's fear-mongering, which is crazy because if you look at Facebook, 92% of the news out there is how the world's going to end, everything sucks, and we're all dying, and here's how everything's terrible. So if it's free, they're happy. You can fear-monger all you want, but if you want to pay Facebook to have a message, you can't even use the word coronavirus. So that has nothing to do with the law. Michael's the answer for the law, but I do know. And for me personally, what I would coach you to do, what we're doing is we do want to talk about COVID. Obviously, this whole podcast is about COVID-19 or this Facebook Live, depending on how you're consuming it. But you'll notice in the title, it didn't say, come check out our podcast or Facebook Live about COVID-19 or about coronavirus. They wouldn't do it. It's, you know, how to deal with uncertain times or the law and whatever. I don't even know. So from, there's kind of three levels. There's the advertiser's laws, and you got to follow those. If you want to advertise on Facebook, you have to follow Facebook's term of service, right? Doesn't mean illegal, doesn't make it immoral, just means if you want to play on their playground, you got to play by their rules. There's the business point of it, which I'll give you, and then we're going to have Michael chime in on the legal piece. From a moral standpoint, I have no problem talking about COVID-19 or coronavirus. I just don't fearmonger. So none of the stuff that we put out there in emails or anywhere is, give me money or you're going to die. Everything sucks. You know, you got to call me and have my coaching or you're going to go out of business. That's fear mongering. I don't stand for it. I don't think it's right. Probably Michael can tell you if it's legal or not. I think it's gross. We still talk about it because it's what everyone's talking about, right? So if I'm going to advertise, all you guys want to hear about is how do I grow or maintain my business during this nonsense? And I want to make sure that we're offering hope and encouragement. Here's how to do that. And I'm totally okay with that. And some of you guys might agree. You shouldn't talk about it at all. Well, that's okay. You run your business the way you want. So that's kind of the advertiser's point of view. That's my point of view. Now let's get the legal point of view on Michael. Is there any reason legally we could or couldn't say certain things relating to the virus?
You know, that's the one question I'm not prepared to answer.
So we got him. Well done, Marcus Fox. There should be an award for you, buddy.
You know, Mike, it's been exciting because the last couple of weeks I had to tap into areas that I've never touched in my whole life. SBA loans, OSHA requirements, family medical leave, CARES Act, name it. So all of that is great because the one thing that we do care most about is that we survive with our businesses intact as well as possible, keeping our employees healthy, running our business, keeping our customers, retaining business, maybe even growing business. The advertisement law is not part of my area of expertise, but I'm happy to look into and contact colleagues of mine. The law firm I'm a partner with has 260 lawyers, and we have a couple of guys who are specialized in that field, so I'll tap into those resources and try to answer that question later. I can't answer it right this second. Apologies.
Well, either we'll have to have you back, or you'll tell me in private, and then I'll steal your intellectual property and go out there and claim it as my own. We'll figure out which of those we're going to do. All right. We're kind of at time, but I want to make sure that we give Michael opportunity just to kind of say anything he wants in terms of, hey, if you were, and then I'm going to let you know if you want to get, because again, overview, guys, gals, in 20 minutes we've got without being able to have specific, here's my business, here's what I'm doing, here's a circumstance. Michael can only give general, not even advice, but just concepts based on what, you know, his decades of understanding the law. So some of you guys are going to want, and gals are like, I need more help, right? And I'll make sure that at the end of this, we give you a way to get a hold of Michael and reach out if you want to do that one-to-one, which again, same with our coaching, right? We do the best that we can one-to-many, right? If I'm just giving you general advice, I do the best I can, but for you to go, here's my situation, here's how many employees are, here's my goals, here's everything, that's when we can kind of really dive in, and that's a different deal. So we'll make sure that we give you the opportunity to get with Michael on that and with us if you want to do it. But before we do that, Michael, just anything, no rules, if you have the opportunity to talk to thousands of owners of cleaning companies, which you do, from your experience, what's just give us the best 2-3 minutes you've got.
Well, the best to summarize what we talked about earlier, we touched on a number of issues. The one thing that was important to me today, Mike, was to give you some anchors, not to have anybody leave here being more confused than before, but to give you specific answers and guidelines, what you can do to assist your employees get through this difficult situation, but also retain your customers and get through this with the least amount of fear and anxiety, because believe it or not, this virus will pass.
What?
And life will continue. Earth will be in equilibrium even after all this. But we want to continue to have an economy and have our businesses up and running. So my main job is to help clients, businesses, to get through it, to give them daily advice, because everything's changing almost daily or hourly. And it's like an avalanche of information you're getting from everywhere, from the media. I'm sending out alerts to clients. You received a couple of them as well with your company. And we just want to help everybody to get through this, understand what is important, that you can continue to focus on your business, and that you don't have to be kept up at night worrying about the law. That's my main job. And I'm helping clients that way. That's how I feel is the best I can do at the moment.
Beautiful. And I made a total lie. As soon as I said I was going to let you round it up, people had some very, in the chat, which I missed, there's a couple things. So one last question, then we'll let you guys know how to get a hold of us and how to get a hold of Michael if you need more help. But good question. What, I don't say guarantees, but so there's kind of the advertising, what you can say there in terms of, you know, come become a client. What about for clients that you have, how specific or how confident would you get in terms of assurances to clients of we can eradicate this virus or keep you safe from it? We can, you know what I'm saying? There's kind of a spectrum of ability in terms of we can certainly cleaning isn't going to hurt anything. It can only help. And there's different levels of cleaning, disinfecting, and virus removal. What kind of warnings or guardrails would you recommend folks put up for being able to communicate the value that they think they can bring to clients without breaking the law or kind of stepping out of line?
Well, I think the general advice that you gave earlier, Mike, is a great one. When you say that you don't necessarily use that word COVID-19 or coronavirus, that you say, hey, we're doing the deep cleaning, we're providing that we can get rid of all the germs, including others. I mean, humans have managed over the millions of years to have a lot of different bacteria other than this COVID-19. So you're providing a service to clean viruses of any other sort as well. So I would not necessarily touch on COVID-19, but just provide a general description of what you're doing, how it's benefiting your customers, and then you don't run into these little landmines that Facebook and others have put up in that regard. I think that's very valuable.
Well, and I love that. That makes a good point. Like, you can still say we disinfect, we clean, we just have to get specific. However, when people inadvertently ask, I want you to come in and disinfect my place from COVID-19 or remove any risk, you know, because it's tough. It's not like we can give no value, right? It's not like we're just sprinkling magic fairy dust and there's no protection. But I think it would also be irresponsible, even if we have the best up-to-date procedures and equipment and chemicals, to say we're removing all risk. That would be insane. So when our client specifically asks, like, can you, or what level of protection can you offer from the COVID-19, we kind of want to walk the line of certainly being honest, but being legal, right? Even if it's even if it's the truth, we don't want to say something that's true and still get sued and lose. Does that make sense? Or am I asking a poor question?
That's a good point. I mean, if you talk about warranties, I would just be reluctant. You cannot give a guarantee. It's impossible. I don't think anybody on the planet can give a guarantee that you can rid yourself of any and all COVID-19 viruses or any other virus. But you can state what you have been doing, what the state of the art of the things are that you can provide, and all the good that you will be doing. Just no guarantee. I would not stretch that far.
Okay.
We're not provide that.
So what I hear you saying is certainly we can communicate the benefits of cleaning for all sickness and all disease, but on the same token, if someone says, hey, I will pay you to protect me from the coronavirus and I need some sort of guarantee, say, you can pay me to disinfect or to use a fogger or to use these kind of chemicals, I will provide this work, which is certainly going to benefit the overall health of your place, but I can't make any specific guarantees of who will or won't get sick based on our cleaning. Is that a fair summary, or did I totally miss
that? That's very fair, because obviously human beings are still able to go to other places, and we're not androids yet.
Yes.
Cyborgs who carry a display. Oh, I got the COVID-19 on Tuesday, March 31st at 1:15 p.m. You will not have that benefit unless you are a cyborg. Talk to Elon Musk about that if you want. But yes, I'd be reluctant in providing any guarantees. Plus, it's extremely hard for any potential customer to even provide that proof to begin with, because unless you're living in an isolated bubble, how would you ever prove that this particular business caused that COVID-19. But again, your question was, should you provide any warranties or guarantees? I would not do that.
And again, that's I think that's a very powerful and effective legal message. And the good thing is there's been nothing where kind of Michael said the law goes this way and me and my coaching go a different way, because we always want to make sure we coach you to be legal. But a lot of times I feel like the law is not sensical, right? There's things that it requires you to do, I think, are not a good idea. I would agree from a business standpoint with everything Michael said in terms of, let's, you know, kind of just conceptually always under-promise and over-deliver. So we want to make sure that we guarantee what we're doing. We will send people in to perform these tasks. We do believe that these tasks are going to have an overall general benefit to the health and wellness of the people inside that building. But that's where it stops. And if you want to hire someone that can guarantee you no one is ever going to get sick in your building, let me know how that works out for you. But I'm not your guy. I'm not your, you know, we're not the company to do that. All right, guys, gals, if this has been helpful, two things. One, feel free in the Facebook group, and I think Lindsay can put a link to the Facebook group if you're not already a member. If you want more of stuff like this on the legal side, we know you guys want more coronavirus and COVID-19, let us know, and I'll see if I can get Michael to come back. Second, I'm putting his email in the chat. It's michael.kuhn, michael.kuhn@fisher, broyles.com, FISHERBROYLES.com. And if you're getting this on wherever you get this, whether it's podcast or YouTube channel, make sure we put it in the notes so you have access to that. He has said he would do a consultation. By consultation, guys, I'm, you know, 10, 20 minutes is like a 3-hour thing with anyone in Cleaning Nation. He did that. He was kind enough to do that with me. If you kind of have questions on, hey, would it make sense for us to work together? Or do I need help? What plan do I need to put together? And would that involve some sort of legal representation? You can reach out to him and he'll give you more. For us, there's big two. Everyone's saying thank you. So I think you went over big, Michael. For us, if you're like, holy crap, not only do I need the legal stuff, but we want to know how to survive and thrive in business. No guarantees. I don't want to get in trouble in front of Mike, but in front of Michael. But, you know, we want to know how to thrive, not just survive during this coronavirus. We have tons of resources. GrowingCleanCompany.com is where kind of the mother load of everything. And then I just did my, I think it was like an hour and a half, maybe 2-hour live specifically on the coronavirus, how to thrive, not survive. You can get a replay of that at GrowingCleanCompany.com/coronaparty. So that's that. Michael, did I miss anything? Or are we good to go?
No, I think you've covered a lot of good bases. And again, if you have any questions, you can also feel free to give me a call on my phone, which is 804-938-4380. Again, 804-938-4380. I'll give you, as Michael just said, for 10, 20 minutes. I'm not going to charge anything. I'll help you steer through this. And just let me know if you have any other questions. I'm happy to answer them.
All right, Michael, I wasn't going to give your phone number out because we'll see how Cleaning Nation abuses you. Every time I have a guest on that people like, without their phone number, they find them and beat down their door. So don't complain if you get a bunch of calls. Cleaning Nation, love. And I just want to, Michael, I didn't tell him I was going to say this, that I'm only saying it because it's the truth. The reason I reached out to Michael is he and I have worked together, feels like a year or so now. But basically when we started needing legal advice on, like you said, employment law and contracts and all the garbage stuff that I'm awful at and hate, I reached out to Michael, and I don't know about you guys, but, John says, thank the attorney for us. That's you, Michael. You're the attorney. No one's going to mistake me for attorney ever, but, I have found it is a pain in the butt to get attorneys. Either they're super, super expensive and bright, or they're not that bright. They're just all up about very specific things. I don't really understand big picture. I don't need to get into it, but they're a pain in the butt and they're constantly nickeling and diming you. Michael, bright guy, knows how to talk, like to humans, right? All attorneys can comprehend the English language, but they speak to you in a way that isn't helpful. Anyway, he's been great. And, the reason I had him on is we use him. I try to make sure that if we have anyone, it's either someone I would recommend or use. And we, both in Michael's case, which says a lot, because again, it's easy to find some vendors, they're a dime a dozen and they're all good. For me, attorneys is not the case. They're mostly bad and a pain in the neck. And when you get a guy or a gal that knows what they're talking about and doesn't screw you, hard to find. All right, guys, gals, thanks for showing up. Talk to you soon. See you in a couple days. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.